Special testimony this morning, and next Sunday, or the first Sunday in March, we'll have another special testimony. This morning, I want Denise Smith to come and share her testimony of what God has done in her life and her family's life. This testimony will absolutely move your heart. God's already here. I don't know if you know this or not, but He's already here. He's been working already. So if you need any other encouragement, this is going to help you. Denise, come on. Denise, 200 and some odd of your closest friends.
I had a dream last night that there was like 20 people here. So. But I knew that wasn't going to come true. So, anyways, our choir song, I'm Just a Nobody, was a good song for this morning, I thought, but I got my box. So I'm just going to start, I guess. I'm Denise Smith. I'm Scott's wife, for those that don't know me. Scott is the song leader, and my son Kyle is in the sound booth. So my testimony really involves those two. But when I grew up in Dallas Bay, my parents, they didn't, we didn't go to church as a family. They didn't attend church, and they still don't. But so we always went to church with our neighbors when we went. You know, we got up and got ready and went. And so that was my involvement in church when I grew up. And one day we were at church and they were having communion. And, of course, I didn't know anything about it. They were like, Denise, you can't take that if you're not saved. And, of course, I don't know how old I was, maybe 10. So I wanted to do what everybody else was doing, so I was like boo-hooing. And they said, Denise, you can get saved. All you have to do is ask the Lord into your heart. And, of course, I didn't know anything about it, and I didn't have communion that day. But, I always prayed every night, and one night I asked the Lord to come into my heart. But I didn't know what it meant. And so, later I realized that, I didn't get saved. All I did was ask the Lord into my heart. That was my prayer. Lord, will you come into my heart? And I didn't get saved. But when I had thought, I did. So, growing up, when you're a teenage girl, you like boys. You I always liked flirting. I liked the attention I got from boys. But I never did anything. I was just a big flirt. But this boy, he lived across the road that I grew up with. He was almost 4 years older than me. So when I was 14, he was always like, Denise, you're looking good, and all that good stuff. So we had sex one time, my first time, and I got pregnant when I was 14. And of course, I didn't tell anybody. I didn't want anyone to be ashamed. I didn't want to let my parents down. And so I didn't tell anyone I was pregnant. And then also when I was 14, we moved up here to Flat Top, just up the road, actually behind Mary Beth's house. And so we moved up here. And I never told anyone I was pregnant. And I finally told one of my friends. And she told my best friend at the time. I didn't tell her because I knew if I told her, she would tell her mom. And then I didn't want her mom to know. And so my friend told my best friend, she told her mom. And she was like, "Denise, are you sure you're pregnant?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure." So she made me take a pregnancy test, and it was positive. And she was like, "You need to tell your mom." And I knew I needed to tell her, but I didn't know how I was going to tell her. So a couple weeks later, my sister went out on a date. And when we moved up here, we weren't in our neighborhood anymore or around our friends anymore, which was a good thing, really. So one of the things that my mom and dad did was give us our own phone and phone line. So I always turned my phone off, but that night I didn't. And so when my sister got home and her boyfriend got home, he called her to let her know that he got home okay. And the phone was really loud, and it scared me. I was sleeping, and I jumped up, and my water broke. And I didn't know what it was. I just thought I was peeing on myself, and I couldn't control it. So about an hour later, I started getting pains in my back, and this was at 1:30. And then, they kept getting worse and more intense. So I finally went and got my sister up and told her that I was pregnant and what was going on. And so she's like, "Well, I'll go get Mama and tell her." And so she went and got my mom up, and she came in there, and I told her, and she was very calm, and she said, "Well, just get dressed, and we'll take you to the hospital." And it was raining real bad that night, or that morning. This was like 5:30. I woke her up, and we were going down the mountain, and she said, "Tell me when it hurts." So she wanted to see, how far I progressed. Oh, but one thing she asked me when we were leaving is, she didn't know I was full term. She thought I was miscarrying. And so she said, "Denise, what do you want to do with the baby?" And, I was 15, so I couldn't take care of a baby. I couldn't take care of a baby by myself. I knew that. And I didn't want to ask anyone for help, so I said, "Well, I will just give him up for adoption, I guess." And so we were going down the mountain, and she said, "Tell me when it hurts." And so I tell her, and then about a minute and a half later, I tell her again. So it was pretty soon I was going to be having a baby. So when we got to the hospital, I had the baby, and I didn't, since I was giving him up for adoption, I didn't want to see him right away. Because, I don't care how old you are, you carry a child in you that long, you're going to love them. And so I didn't, it was a hard situation anyways, and I didn't want to be in more pain by seeing and holding this child that I was going to have to give away. So we talked to the adoption agencies, and we cried the whole way through. And then the people that were actually going to adopt him, it was a Christian adoption agency, and they were a Christian family, and they had already adopted one child. But later my mom came, and she said, "We don't want you to give this child away. We want to help you, and we will help you in any way we can." So because of my mom and dad, I was able to keep my son and have him with us. So they, they really helped a lot. My whole family helped a lot, and I couldn't have done anything without their help.
And then when I was in high school, you know, we had to pick electives, and I had a choice between ROTC or choir. I didn't want to be in ROTC, so I chose to be in choir, and that's where I met Scott, was in the choir. So, you know, I still liked boys, still was a big flirt, you know, but I had a crush on Scott. I don't know where he's sitting at, but anyways, wherever he, there he is. So I told my friend, I was like, you know, I think I like that guy, Scott. So I kind of like him. And so I got her to go tell him that I liked him, and she was like, he had a great response. He said, "Man, she's got a kid." So we were real mad at him over that. And of course, that hurt my feelings. And I cried. And my best friend hated him forever for that. She really did. So anyways, but we were friends. You know, we had some other classes together, and we were friends. And always talked and everything. But so Scott, you know, he graduated high school, and I was a senior. And he called me one day up out of the blue and asked me to go out. And I was like, I thought he was just joking, because he's a jokester, and he, you know, he didn't like me before. So I was like, really? And he said, yeah, let's go out. And so he finally convinced me that he wasn't just joking. So we went out and started dating. And we started dating in February. So he's always grown up here in this church. And so I started going to church with Scott and over at the little church across the road. And he asked me when we first started dating, have you been saved? And I told him, yeah, you know, I've been saved. I thought, you know, remember that time I asked the Lord into my heart when I was little. So we were going to church across the road. And one of the things that I found out real quickly the first time I ever attended this church, because, you know, I was 18 when we started dating. I had a three-year-old. And not growing up in church, you have a perception, I think, of Christians or church people that they're going to be judgmental of you. So when I started coming here, I was real kind of nervous at first. It was a smaller church, and I had been to church some, but I was worried, you know, what they're going to think of me, because here I am, I'm 18, I have a three-year-old. But ever since day one stepping in this church, everyone has loved on me. They were very welcoming, and they were just glad to see me there. And that's something I've always felt that this church does well, is welcome people. But and we were having a special speaker. I don't know, it may have been revival. I don't remember. His name was Brother Adams. I don't remember his first name. But he was preaching. And I felt like I needed, you know, the Lord, after hearing, you know, what it really means to be saved. You know, we're all sinners. The only way to get to heaven is through accepting Jesus as your Savior. I realized that I didn't really get saved like I thought I was when I was little. So he was had invitation, and they had everybody was standing up, and I really felt the Lord telling me, you need to go get saved. But I didn't want to go up there because I was scared. I didn't want to go in front of all the people in the church, and I had already told Scott that I was saved. I was worried what he was going to think. But the preacher said, He said, I know that, or if don't be afraid to come up front here in front of all these people. He was just speaking it in general. Of course, he's really, the Lord was saying it to me, but don't be afraid to come up in front of all these people. He said, would you rather come up in front of the people here today or be standing in heaven, in front of all of heaven, and God say, I don't know you? So I was like, you know, I got to go up there and get saved. So I went up there, and I got saved that Sunday. I always felt like the Lord just laid things out perfectly in my life to where I would get saved. He used my son Kyle to bring me to him. I've always felt that way because I don't think that if I had had him in my life, I don't think, or I know, I wouldn't be married to Scott. I wouldn't have started attending church here. And I probably would have, you know, got myself into a bunch of trouble. But because I had a child, I had to, you know, I was always with him. I didn't really go out with my friends or anything like that. So he kept me out of trouble. So I always felt like the Lord used him to keep, you know, to where I would come to know Christ as my Savior. Because if it wasn't for him, I don't know where I would be. So I'm glad Kevin asked me to do this. I think it's, you know, right now with the new laws taking place and people not wanting babies, it breaks my heart because without what the gift, you know, that God gave me a son, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I know that's the reason that he gave me him. I was going to say something else and I forgot. But I guess that's it.
Once again, give Denise a round of applause for sharing her testimony. You say, man, that's awesome. I was thinking the whole time about when she's giving her testimony, I was thinking, man, Kyle's sitting back there in the sound booth, and her husband's leading music, and Denise is a huge part of what goes on here at this church. That is just a portrait of what God does. He takes messes and makes them and turns them into messages. So I'm glad we have such a big crowd here this morning, because I want you to know what kind of church we have. We have a church full of people who needed the grace and love of Jesus Christ and heard a message of repentance, and we turned our hearts and our lives to him, because in Matthew chapter 4 it said Jesus come preaching repentance. All it was turn. Just turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your ways and commit your way to my way. And that's who we are as a church. We're just a bunch of broken, sinning people who put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. We're not better than you. We're just saved. And we'll make room for you, even if we have to sit in the choir. I'm proud to be the pastor of this church. It's an amazing church. And today is just a celebration. I'm not going to make reference to anything today as far as games or anything like that to be played, but I want to say this. There's bigger trophies in here this morning than there will be on any part of today. All right, the trophies that are sitting in this room, and we're going to do some things that are going to be different and fast-paced here for just a few more minutes. You bear with us as we're going to baptize a lot of people, and we're going to let a lot of people join our church. And what it means to be a part of this church is You take ownership of this church. You love people and you let people love you. Amen? And you're going to be a part of this. Yeah, go ahead, sis.